Everywhere I Look, written and read by Helen Garner.
Some furniture. At the turn of the millennium, I reached the end of my masochism and came home from Sydney with my tail between my legs, single again. Tenants were still living in my Fitzroy house, and the one I rented for myself in Ascot Vale was too narrow for the table I'd had trucked down the Hume. I offered it to my niece. She turned up with a bloke in a ute, and away they went. I stood in the bare room. What can happen at the kitchen table when you haven't even got one? A woman on her own can easily get into the habit of standing at the open fridge door and dining on a cold boiled potato. I was determined to be elegant in my solitude, but for lack of a table, I had to eat off my knee on the couch. The available space in the kitchen would take only a round table, and every round one I saw, in the crap shops I drifted through at High Point, had a hole drilled in the centre for an umbrella. It chanced that a school friend of my daughter's was married to a woodworker. He came over, measured the spot, and returned in a couple of weeks with a perfect little creation in pale timber. It was so beautiful and so expensive that in my demoralised state I felt unworthy to sit at it. But I forced myself. I learnt to eat dainty salads off it, to nibble at fillets of fish steamed in ginger. This would be my single life. A year later, I took back my old house from the tenants. The kitchen was a large room. The little round table floated on its expansive floor like an autumn leaf on a lake. How could something so lovely look so silly, so out of place? I rolled it into one of the bedrooms and drove down to the fashionable recycled timber shops on Johnston Street. There I found a rectangular dining table of a suitable size. Until I bought my tiny round one, now superseded, I wouldn't have paid four figures for a table in a fit. But the sign said it was made of jarrah that had been salvaged from a demolished warehouse. Its dimensions were pleasing. It had slightly tapered legs and a glossy top, on which I could imagine setting out white crockery, cloth napkins, perhaps a vase of flowers if anything pretty ever blossomed again in my garden. For a moment I was puzzled by certain dark nail punctures that randomly pitted its surface. All the furniture in the shop seemed to have them. Maybe this was how recycled timber was supposed to look. Was the very purpose of this noble endeavour to preserve the traces of proletarian toil? Who was I, a self-pitying bohemian, to question this? It looked all right in the kitchen. Its top gave off a warm, dark glow. One day, when I trudged in from work and dumped my red backpack on it, the two colours united in a fiery moment that made my mouth water. I looked out into the grassy yard. Perhaps a bird might alight and emit a musical phrase. Something moved behind the lemon tree. I stepped over to the window, and a hawk beat up into the air with a bald corpse hanging from its beak. I rushed outside. The grass behind the tree was thickly strewn with feathers. I knew that I was in despair. The house was empty, too big for me to fill. All I could bring to it was an enormous, slow, bleak loneliness.